more than anything, I count it an honor to be able to serve God in this way. You know, I believe today is going to be a good day. Not a good day because of me, but a good day because who are the one that we serve. When they were talking about God working out, I was like, okay, whew, I came right ahead. You know when you feel you got it all in you and you just want to give it all to you? It's like those little toddlers, they want to tell you the whole story, and they're like, da-da-da-da-da, and you're just like, okay, you know? Can I get one syllable at a time? So I'm going to do my best to slow down and to give you what the Lord has placed upon my heart. Before we go there, I want to just catch you up if you haven't been with us. So we've been in this series called By Faith. In the past few weeks, we've talked about some truths on this topic of what does by faith mean. So the first week we said, by faith we are created intentionally by an intentional God for a purpose. The second week we talked about that by faith we are saved through Jesus and can be saved from our sins and reconciled to God. Week three, by faith, we are called as followers to live and to walk, not by our sight. And then lastly, by faith, we do not have to live this life in our own human effort. I mean, that is a testimony in and of itself, that we don't have to do this in our own human effort. Before going any further, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page when we talk about biblical faith. So I'm going to take you to Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. The confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Today, I get the opportunity to discuss by faith, all things are possible with God. He is still a God of miracles. He's still a God of miracles. I stand before you as a miracle. But I can't go too far. Oh, goodness. Oh, Lord. Oh, okay. He's so good. He especially responds to those by faith who believe and trust that he can do the impossible. That he is the God of miracles. You know, recently, just in the last couple months, God has had me really kind of sit in this. And there's been a few circles that I've been able to be a part of where it just seems to be this running thing. I've been a part of a book club. We've been walking through the book, God is Able. And that book is written by Priscilla Shire. And in it, it's talking about, like, God is able to do all the things, but not just able, that he is willing. You know, sometimes we can believe that God is able, but we don't know if he's willing. Or we may be thinking that he's willing for somebody else, but not willing for us. You know, that's hard. That's free. How they say that? That was a little free there, right there. I've also been a part of an online Bible study where I've been able to lead series where we're going through Francis Chan, The Heart of God. And in that, he's talking about how big God is. That even though he is so big, he desires to have a personal, intimate relationship with us. And on the end that, he would desires to do amazing things on our behalf. And lastly, you know, I'm wearing this lovely sweatshirt from a women's conference I just came back from. And during that time, once again, God had me sitting and soaking in the truth that God is big, he is able, and he is willing to do the impossible. So when I tell you I stand before you, and when David said, okay, this is who I want you to preach on and what I want you to preach about, I was like, oh, I know that's the Lord. I know that's the Lord, and I know that he's been preparing me. Because I needed it for my own life. I'm bringing to you what I needed first, right? He is still the God who can do the impossible, who can perform the miracles. You know, there are many examples in the Bible of men and women who, as a result of their faith, experienced God doing the impossible, giving them miracles. But today we're going to focus on Abraham and Sarah. And really just one part of Abraham and Sarah's promise. So Abraham, if you don't know, he's known as the father of faith. In Romans 4, 1 through 3, it says, "What then shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? In fact, Abraham was justified by works. If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credit to him as righteousness." You may be thinking, what does credit to him as righteousness mean? It basically means that the faith that we experience through Jesus Christ as New Testament believers, it was comparable to what he was able to experience. Now, if you can imagine that, he didn't have all that we have today, but God saw something special in him, in his level of faith, that it is comparable to where we are today. And again, it's only through what we experience today, it's only through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he did and the power of the Holy Spirit. But for Abraham, it was credited unto him as righteousness, and because of that righteousness, because of that faith, he was able to experience some amazing and impossible things done in his life along with his wife Sarah. Our key verse today on Abraham and Sarah will be found in Hebrews 8 through 12. It says, by faith, everybody say, by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose the architect and the builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she's considered him faithful who made the promise. And so, from this, I love this line. This is, and he as good as dead, like, I mean, that's pretty extreme. He as good as dead came the descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. As good as dead, as numerous as the stars. Now, when we read these verses in Hebrew, we can be thinking like, that seems easy. We can be thinking that maybe we just learned about the highlight reel of Abraham and Sarah's life. We can kind of liken it to a Facebook post or an Instagram post where you see the perfect picture or the perfect scenario and it's like, hashtag bless. Hashtag come by this. Hashtag blessed and highly favored. Like most posts you have seen before, these verses in Hebrews make it seem like our faith alone will produce an easy journey from the promise on the road to the impossible and the miracle. However, the reality is that it is so much unsaid within these Hebrew verses in the New Testament. So we're going to take it back. We're going to go to the Old Testament to understand what was really going on in that story. Now, the story of Abraham and Sarah, it spans from Genesis chapter 12 to 25. We ain't got time for all of that, okay? But I've chosen a few chapters and a few key events that I wanted to go through with you guys today. Chapter 12, that's when Abram, he was Abram at the time, received in chapter 21, the birth of Isaac, the fulfillment of the promise. Hebrews uses Abraham and Sarah as an example of people of faith who believed and trusted that God could do the impossible. As we read their story in the Old Testament, again, getting from the promise to the fulfillment could seem simple, but it's not. So, as we briefly talk through Abraham and Sarah's story, what I felt led to share with you today are some faith lessons that we can learn from their journey. So today I'm going to give you five faith lessons. How many?
Five
faith lessons. So faith lesson from number one, God is able and he is willing. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do far more. I mean, I got to like, he is able to do far more. Far more than we could ever ask or imagine. He does everything by his power working in us. So again, God is able and willing to do the impossible, but it is through his strength. I'm going to go back to Genesis 17 and just explain a little bit of the covenant that was made to give you kind of an idea of like how amazing and loving and intentional God is. So when you wanted to go from making a promise with another person, and you wanted to make sure that this promise was binding, by all accounts, binding, okay? You would practice this covenantal ritual, which meant that you would take a number, it was a specific number of animals, you would slice them down the middle, and you would put two halves on each side, okay? And each part of the covenant, each part of the parties that were making the covenant, they would then walk through the sacrifice to say, I am now binding myself to this covenant, binding myself to this truth. But look at how good God is. When he made this covenant with Abraham, he said, I'm gonna put you to sleep. I can't even. I'm gonna put you to sleep. Because at the end of the day, he knew that Abraham was human. And he knew that at some point, you might fail. And I can't have this promise have anything to do with your performance, with your actions. So he put him to sleep. And God alone walked through the sacrifice.
Amen.
It may look similar or different from your friend, your family member, your neighbor. Maybe the difference is he's asking you to say, will you sacrifice that gift? Maybe the difference could be, will you sacrifice this dream? Maybe it could be, will you dream a different dream? Will you allow me, God, to give you the dream? I don't know what you're sacrificing. Only God truly knows the cost, which may be different from, again, the people you may know. But one thing I know for sure, I know it for sure, that whatever it is, that God would be in the middle of the cost. He didn't tell Abraham, leave your family, leave your friends, and not, you know, I'll catch you later. He said, I will go before you and I will go with you. Whatever he is asking you to sacrifice, he can give back to you tenfold of whatever he is asking you to give. Our third faith lesson for today. In the meantime, everybody say, in the meantime.
Yeah.
The meantime. Right? Most times we want the meantime be short,
yeah.
Right? More often than not, it ain't short.
Yeah.
Meantime, me like, meantime, right? In Genesis 21, to give an example from Abraham and Sarah, it tells us that Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Okay, let me give you some context for this. When the promise was given, Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65. When the promise was fulfilled, he was 100, she was 90. Their mean time was 25 years. Now, I don't wish that mean time on nobody. But depending upon your length of the meantime, we need to be careful because there can be a potential for pitfalls. I want to encourage you, like Abraham and Sarah, and once again, God will go through it with you, but let's talk about these pitfalls. One of the pitfalls can be we can see mirages. You ever had some time, waiting time? God's like, I'm gonna do this and do it. I'm gonna give you this. And it ain't. You're like, I'm waiting. And you see something that looks like it could be the promise. And you're like, God, I know what you meant. Here is Abraham and Sarah, I know what you meant. So the first time, God comes to Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham was like, God, you said we're gonna have descendants. You don't have that. But I think what you probably meant is you're going to use Eleazar, who was Abraham's servant, to become our son by proxy. And God simply said, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. What I meant is that you're going to have a son of your seed. I don't know if you've ever been there, where they were so thirsty for a miracle, so thirsty for God to do the impossible, that Eleazar looked like a nice, tall drink of water. We need to be careful in our faith walk that we don't latch on to the mirage that looks like God's promise, because we're so desperate for that promise. Another pitfall in the meantime is we can reinterpret God's word. Abraham and Sarah, second time, once again, said, God, I know what you meant. And Sarah came up with a plan. She was like, oh, okay. So God said, Abraham, by your seed, we make a choice to alter God's plan, to reinterpret what he has for us, that we understand that in that choice, we can possibly not just hurt ourselves, but harm others. I'd just like to make an aside and say that God is so good that Hagar, who wasn't even a Jewish woman, that God met her and he loved on her and she responded to him. So if you have been a part of somebody else's counterfeit, God sees you. He has you. He will meet you. Although the meantime, as we spoke, has the potential for pitfalls, it also has the potential for great blessings. And I want to cover it too today. It has the potential that we can build our faith in God. In James 1, 2-3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Faith is a muscle. That's one of my favorite sayings. Faith is a muscle. Every area of our life has a muscle that can be tested by faith. Some examples: finances, family, work, our health. If we change our perspective, knowing that maybe this testing is building my faith, if we change our perspective in the meantime, we have, again, the opportunity to not let whatever that test is destroy us, but to build us up in the Lord. Because when we can trust God in the little things, it becomes easier to trust him in the bigger things. Another meantime blessing is we can build our resiliency and then our dependency upon God. Continuing in James 1, it says, 4-5 says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." When we rely upon God, we build our faith muscle. We're able to persevere through life's ups and downs. Someone recently shared this with me, and I thought it was just this perfect example of in the meantime. There's this story about a pastor. A pastor asked an old farmer decked out in his bib and overalls to say grace for the morning breakfast. He started out, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The farmer began. The visiting pastor kind of opened one eye and glanced at the farmer and was wondering, where is this going? Then the farmer loudly proclaimed, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the pastor was growing concerned. Without missing a beat, the farmer continued, "And Lord, you know I do not much care for raw white flour." The pastor once again opened an eye and glanced around the room and saw that he wasn't the only one that was feeling a little uncomfortable. Then the farmer added, "But Lord, when you mix them all together and you bake them, I love warm, fresh biscuits. So Lord, when the things come up that we do not like, when life gets hard, when we don't understand what you are saying to us, help us to just relax and wait until you are done mixing. It will probably be even better than that picture." We always want to shorten the meantime. But the truth is that in the meantime, it has all the ingredients necessary as a part of our journey towards promise and that year. In God's goodness, he In God's goodness, he will provide us with little miracles along the way. So it's not just promise and we're waiting for the big miracle. He is so good that he will do things along the way. In the beginning of Abraham and Sarah's story, you know, we learned about how they went to the foreign land, and one of the things they got in a little bit of trouble with the Pharaoh. And he said, Sarah, so can you tell the Pharaoh that you're my sister? Because I think he may try and kill me to get to you because you're so beautiful. And she was like, yeah. I tell you, sometimes we need to vet what the partner is saying, okay? have your people that can help you vet it. Anyway, I digress on that. So, see, I lost my train of thought because I'm being funny. Okay. trouble. So, anyway, long story short, they do take Sarah. God visits Pharaoh at night, says, don't touch Sarah. And then Pharaoh goes back to, you know, Abraham and was like, why didn't you tell me this was your wife? You said it was your sister. And he was like, well, I was kind of telling the truth because she was his sister. But anyway, the miracle along the way is he saved their life more times than they probably can count. We always can find something to be grateful for along the journey to the promise and the miracle. Even if all you can be thankful for in that moment is you are in your right mind, you are alive, you are walking, you are talking. Recently, I've experienced my own life's little miracles. I found out, I don't know if you guys have experienced the weight of school loans. I have experienced the weight of school loans. And I recently found out that I could consolidate my loans. And that all of my loans could be forgiven much sooner than what I expected. And I shared this because I want you to understand it's not about me. But even in that little miracle, it was something that I prayed about on passing. Like, Lord, you know, if you could do that other thing, that seems so impossible. That's like on the low totem pole of what I'm praying for right now. But it was a small miracle that helped to lead to a bigger miracle. While waiting for what seemed to be an impossible dream, God did something totally unexpected in my life. That miracle, that small miracle, has led to me being able to purchase a home. I never want to stand somewhere and be like, oh, again, hashtag blessed. No, it was hard. I ain't gonna lie. It was hard. But God is so good. And if we are careful to not miss or dismiss the little miracles along the way, we won't miss what he's doing inside of us when we get to that point. The final faith lesson today, Abraham and Sarah in Genesis. In Genesis. The idea of Abraham and Sarah's story and so many other stories in the Bible, it goes back to the singular story. It is all about God and his glory. Miracles ultimately give God glory. It's not about us. It's not the point to us. It's the point to him. It's not just about receiving something that's impossible or something you've been waiting so long for. But it's about when you receive it, who will you give the glory? talked about 20, but it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us. This is the truth that 21 says, to him be the glory in the church. Are we in the church? To him be the glory. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. That again, the miracles that you've seen, the testimony that you have, it's not just about you. It can go from generation to generation, building up the faith of those who come after you. Forever and ever. Amen. So good. So our faith lessons today. One, God is willing and he's able. There will be a cost. And most likely, there's always a need. Sometimes that need time can be like this short. But in the reality of a faith walk, it's typically long. God will provide small miracles along the journey. And those small miracles build up your faith. It encourages along the way as you are walking towards that place. And ultimately, it's not about us. Miracles are ultimately to give God. I want to leave you with some questions today. I felt led to pray over you, and I'm going to pray over you through some scripture. But before I get to that, here are some questions I want you to walk away with. What are you believing him for? While you're in the meantime, the reality is most of us, we are in the meantime, right? Either going in, just coming out, we spend most of our faith walk in the meantime. What is he calling you to focus on? Out of everything I said today, what is he calling you to focus on? And lastly, is God getting the glory? Is he getting the glory? And by the way, just to go back to that Hebrews verse 11, with our human eyes, when we look at that account, we can say, ugh, it's like Facebook post, the highlight. But in the spirit, it was God looking upon them saying, I saw your faith. I saw your faith. Because when we stand before God and give an account of our faith steps, he says, I saw your faith. I'm not counting your missteps. How great is that? That at the end of their life, God said, count it by faith. Abraham, count it by faith. Sarah, count it by faith. And because of their faith, God did this. I love that. So I'm going to pray over his church. And I'm going to use a prayer actually written by Paul in Ephesians. And it was Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. I'd like for you to bow your head and close your eyes as I read these scriptures. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glories and riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We understand that some may be in here questioning, wondering who God is, what does he have for? I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power And this is what I love. To grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of the people here today. Lord, I pray what is for them will be for them, and that they would leave here differently, encouraged by your word, Lord God, that you are a big God who is willing to do the impossible in their life. I thank you and I pray.